Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hadith number 2.
عن عمر رضي الله عنه أيضا قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال صدقت فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك قال فأخبرني عن الساعة قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان
الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد and that is everyone the praises for Allah alone and we ask Him for help and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our own actions, our own deeds and behaviors. And whosoever Allah guide, never will he or she go astray. And whosoever goes astray, then for him or her there is no God besides Allah. And I bear witness and openly declare that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness and openly declare that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. The prayers and the peace be on him. And everything of excellence indigenous to this salutation follows. And to all of you, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And Jumma Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So today, we will...
From Suratul 4, around about the 75th verse. So, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, you know, last week, my distinguished brothers and sisters, we spoke in depth about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us. The human being, that is. He created us weak so that we may find our strength in him or find him in order to acquire our strength. That is becoming a greater challenge for human beings generationally. these days, that is becoming a greater challenge for human beings. That is to find God, to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to turn their face in that direction, to turn their whole being in that direction and pursue the challenge of finding God. That is a great difficulty now among the generations now. This concern emerged from the from a recent research, and the research was conducted by PRRI, that is Public Religion Research Institute, and NORC, N-O-R-C, the National Opinion Research Institute. So with respect to strength and weakness in the public, which says a lot about our society we occupy and that society's attitude about God and religion. So these research organizations have disclosed that about 50% of the Americans, 50% of Americans do not believe that God is real. 50%. That is a disturbing decline. For example, NORC, the research organization that is associated with the University of Chicago, they say in 2008, that number was about 60% in terms of their research revealed that about 60% of the people believe that God was real. But today, it has dwindled down to about 50%. This is a disturbing erosion. The rate of erosion is very disturbing. While PRRI says in 2022, they say about 27% of the American people said they had no affiliation with religion. No affiliation, which is up from 19% that was in 2012. And it was 16% in 2006. So now it's 27%. That is a big movement when you look at what was recorded in 1950. In 1950, dear people, only 3% of the American population said that they didn't believe that God was real. So from 1950 to today, that's a great erosion. Serious problem. The same research says that about 9% of the silent generation, that's the generation right before myself and most of you, so the silent generation makes a claim of, about 9% of them make a claim of no affiliation with religion. About 18%, which is double that, of the baby boomers, that's my generation, claim the same. That's my generation. They claim the same thing. About 18% of them say they have no affiliation with religion. And 29% of the millennials, that's the generation under the baby boomers, that came after the baby boomers, they say to about 29% of them say that they have no affiliation with religion. And 34% of the Generation Z, 34% said they had no religious affiliation. So the younger the generation, the more the decline. So we can see how this thing is working. Future generations coming aboard, they're coming aboard with a lesser appeal for God, a lesser dependency
upon God a lesser desire to have a relationship with God, there's a greater decline. Yes. So the research went on to state, dear people, that blacks and Hispanics experience a lesser decline in terms of rapidness, a lesser decline in religion than that of whites. However, the research also pointed out that 44% of Republicans will attend worship services at least once a week, while only 29% of Democrats said so. It concluded by saying Democrats were more likely to be atheists, while blacks and Hispanics are the majority. Blacks and Hispanics as Democrats, majority of them as Democrats, I guess that is to say, stay buckled in, there's more to come. So I guess they're trying to make a connection that since the Democrats are more likely to become atheists, they're saying that majority of those groups, blacks and Hispanics, majority of them are Democrats. So I guess they're trying to improvise from their research to say that there's a greater possibility that blacks and Hispanics could become atheists. I'm assuming that's what they're trying to say. But the point is, there is this decline and rejection of religion, and that concerns me, and we should all be concerned about that, because that is going to have a staggering influence on our society. So this tells me that these organizations are dealing with the general society with a salesperson's mentality. And by that, dear people, I mean you have to know the composition of the market you're servicing. That will disclose to you the tactics you will have to employ to achieve your objectives of concerning, of cornering the market or owning it. It will tell you how much pressure needs to be applied, how to modify the sale pitch. That's what this information will tell you. And this is what business people do when they come up with a new product and they want to take it to the marketplace. They do a market research. The market research tells them what they have to do to make this product be received by the people. Who is it that you're trying to attract? Believers or non-believers? This is what we have to ask ourselves. Who want them? Well, do you want them to be weak or do you want them to be strong? Right? You have to know your market. This will tell you how to create the script for what you want to produce or attract. Now, having said all of that, are you a victim or are you a bystander? Which are you? Are you making things happen, or are you just waiting on things to happen? We have to know our place in this society, and we have to know how to engage. We have to know how to engage the society. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his Quran, he said, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَفِينَ من الرجال والنساء والولدين الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالمين أهلها وأجعل لنا من لدنك وليا والإلآل لنا من لدنك النسار صدق الله وبين. And that is the people. And why should you not fight in the cause of Allah and of those who, being weak, are ill-treated and oppressed, men, women, and children, whose cry is, Allah, rescue us from this town, whose people are oppressors. And raise for us from you one who will protect. And raise for us from you one who will help. Truly Allah speaks the truth. Right? So as per what we just shared with you regarding the research and all, Allah Azza wa Jal, he asked the question, why should you not fight in the cause of God now that you know what you know? What is creating this decline of God in the lives of the people? Why is it now, more than ever, that people do not want to believe in God or believe God is real? What has happened to people in this life that is creating this decline? Whose cause is producing this? How, dear people, do we get to that place in our lives where God is no longer essential or welcome? Those are valid questions we have before us today and every day until we answer them. And in addition to that, why is it that we who know and can defend ourselves are not doing a very good job in helping the men, women, and children that are too weak to do so? Now, we are not necessarily talking exclusively of a physical man, woman, or child. There are other ways to exist as such and what that is expressing. That is, not to say it does not include physicality, but a mind that is not strengthened enough will qualify as one needing help. The human sensitivity, the human sensitive nature that needs to be strengthened to produce life bountifully would qualify, as would the mindset given to childish behavior and fascination. They are inadequate to defend themselves, and they are subject to become those who say, I don't think God is real. Why? Because they are ensnared by the tricks of Shaitan. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and Shaitan sees you from a place which you see him not. Right? That means you don't see the angle. You don't see the entrapment that Shaitan has made for you. Right? You don't see it. You don't see him. And you think that he is being generous and honest to you, but you don't see the trap that he's laying for you, and it's just a matter of time before the society walks into it and find themselves destroyed. They are crying out, Allah, save us from the influence of the oppressors of this environment, and send us one from among ourselves we can trust to help us and protect us from insanity. That's their cry. Perhaps that will make God real to them. That is their cry. That is their cry, dear people. So what are we waiting for when this is what we were raised up to do, to protect the men, women, and children? If you understand this language, dear people, then you understand the Quran. If you understand and accept the Quran, you fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without confusing the matter. To fight for the firm establishment of the human life is to fight in the way of Allah. So Allah, he says to us, لَذِينَ آمَنُوا يَخَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَارُوا يُخَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ طَاهُوتِ وَالْخَاتِلُونَ أَوْلِيَاءَ شيطان إن الكيد الشيطان كان ضعيف. قالك الله ودي. Allah surely speaks the truth. I have spoken the truth. So translation, and those who disbelieve, they fight in the cause. Those who believe, they fight in the cause of Allah, and those who reject faith, disbelief, they fight in the cause of evil. So fight you against the friends of Satan. Feeble indeed is the cunning of Satan. Right? Allah, he says, and the scheme of Satan is weak. So those who believe in Allah, they fight in the way of Allah. That is, they fight as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have them to fight. While those who reject faith will refuse to fight in the way of God because they are still not sure if God is real. They don't know if they truly believe or what they truly believe. So they allow the enemy to come and take up a position to manipulate the weak, saying, come amongst them, and begin to spread weaknesses among the human being. You ensnare them in a scheme. We, the believers in Allah, can't stand by and allow the weak to be consumed by the evil of Shaitan. God has called us up to resist that evil and help the weak. Trust me, dear people, you are among the weak yourself with all of the undisputable evidence. If you have trouble believing God exists, yes, therefore, it is the feeble mind, the feeble-minded who becomes the prey and will be twisted up no matter how intelligent they may appear to sound. The point is, anytime you fight against the cause God has called you to, then you have become the enemy of God and the enemy of the human family. Yes, the cause of Shaitan is weakness, because it is weakness that he can only offer you or call you to. So the ones who fight for the cause of the transgressors, you know, that word almost sounds like transgressors. Yes, the transgressors are fighting for the cause of weakness, and that is not what Allah Mu'allim has called you to as your fight. No, you fight to build your strength, to repel evil. That is what will allow you to maintain your obedience to God. Yes, dear people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, he says to us in his Quran, he says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِلَى لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَاكُمْ وَأَحْتِمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَيْتُوا الزَّكَاةِ فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَالُوا إِدَّ إذ فريق منهم يخشون الناس كخشيات لله وأشاد خشيات وادخلوا ربنا لما كتبت علينا علينا القتال لولا أخرتنا إلى أجل قريب قل متاع الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى ولا تظلمون فاتيال. صدق الله العظيم. Have you not turned vision? Or have you not turned vision, translation? Or have you not turned your sight? Have you not turned your sight to those who were told to hold back their hands from fight? But establish regular prayers and spend in regular charity? When at length the order for fighting was issued to them, behold, a section of them feared men as or even more than they should have feared Allah. They said, Allah, why have you ordered us to fight? Would you not grant us respite to our natural turn near enough? Say, short is the enjoyment of this world. The hereafter is the best for those who do right. Never will you be dealt with unjustly in the very least. In the translation. From my days as a youngster, dear people, I remember very clearly the days of the civil rights movement in this country and before. I remember those days. People were told not to raise their hand, voice, or temper at the people who were denying them the human right they so desperately desired. By doing so, they would expose themselves to great danger and harm from the attacks of the people they said denied them human rights. And I get it. That was their fight. To this day, I always believe, dear people, there has to be a better way to achieve what they are still complaining about to this day, which is their right not to be less than human. I know that was their fight. I do. And many of them answered the call just that way. With our beloved brother, Dr. King, it was just more the same. And I tell you, from what I could witness, without being prejudicial in my judgment, the real change of respect did not come until you began to see the likes of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, people like that. And the brave men and women who stood with them, may God forgive them all their sins and grant them all the excellence of the paradise. Yes, you could see a change coming over America. Everything desired by those who exposed their life to danger and did not achieve what they laid down their lives for needed a different fight. They needed a different fight. Or they needed to fight a different way, is my point. The point to be made here is this. Why lay down my life just to eat in the same restaurant with someone else? We operated upon the idea back then, we was operating upon the idea of separate but equal. Anyway, that was the law driven. That was what we were operating upon. So why not deal my own restaurant? But it was people like Joe Savage who received the revelation. And I'm telling you, God sent that revelation and guided his spirit. So he was called up to fight in the way of God. And he fought from a position of intelligence. He didn't go out and lay down in front of a mob. He didn't go out and lay in front of a vehicle. To fight in the way of God is not to be stupid. You can't fight your way out of stupidity. He understood the dynamics, which were, you need me just as much as I need you. Yes, this is far from the Bloody Sunday, which turned out to be a massacre. So Mr. Savage said, we will let the garbage pile up in your neighborhoods until the foul stench begin to burn your nose. Then when you are ready to talk like civilized human beings, then give me a call. Yes? So, Allah, he asked the question, have you observed those who was told to hold back their hands? That is not to fight with those who fight with you. I don't understand how any meaningful progress could have been made with the ritual of prayer and the ritual of charity alone. I don't see it. I don't see how anything could have been achieved. Until someone began to employ a more practical interpretation of the concept of fighting. Mr. Savage did. Joe Savage did. Fight those who fight you. Charity is the allocation of the time to do it for the pleasure of God and the benefit of others. It was a wonderful journey that God called us to, and many of us have answered that call. Yes. And thank Allah for the great psychology of Professor Farad Muhammad, which took the fear of the white man out of us. He did. He did that by calling the white man the devil. I'm telling you, powerful psychology. We were ready to go up against the devil himself, but not the white man, unless we could see the white man as the devil. Praise be to Allah for that psychology. We had a newfound courage. As long as we were fighting the devil, we were not told right? We one of the things that Mr. Farrar told us, he told us that we were the creator of the devil. That we created the devil, and we do create the devil. He was not mine. That's a Quranic fact. You create your devil. You create the devil. Powerful psychology. We feared the white man as we should have feared God, but not the devil. Oh, not the devil. Purely, that was God's mercy and God's help. We feared man as we should have feared God. Before the courage of those servants of God, we were like, you know, you either had to be drunk, crazy, or both to take on the white man. You didn't have the resources. You didn't have weaponry. You didn't have what you needed to take on the white man. But all he had to do is tell you that the white man was the devil, and he was ready to take him out. Powerful psychology. Why would you tell us to do such a thing, God? Right? That's what they said. Why would you tell us to fight the white man, God? You know the white man. That's much more than we have. Why would you tell us to do that? Our love and our fear of God was in question. Right? Perhaps God. It would be better, God, if you just let us live out our time and just forget about this talk of fighting the white man. I thank God for the psychology of Farrar Muhammad to deal with the present world situation that would allow for our expectation in what will come next. Rabbana zalamna infusina wa lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Our Lord, we wrong our own souls, and if we're not forgiven and shown mercy, surely we will be among those who are the losers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ta shirika la wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that God is one, and we witness that Muhammad, the great human model, is his servant and messenger. On him be the prayers and the peace, and everything of excellence follows. Okay? So let's see if we can just finish this up right quickly here. So Allah, he says in the Quran, he says, Aynama taqunu yudri takumul mautu walau lukuntum fi burujin mushayyadati wa in تصيبهم حسنات يحقنون هديه من عند الله وإن تصيبهم سيئات يقولوا هديه من عندك كل من عند الله فمال هؤلاء لقوم لا يخادون قوهن حديد. And translation, wherever you are, death will find you out, even if you are in towers built up strong and high. If some good befalls them, they say, this is from Allah. But if evil, they say, this is from thee, O Prophet. Say, all things are from Allah. But what has come to these people? That they fail to understand a single fact. And you translate that word as single fact, but that word is hadith. Hadith is the story, the recital of the story that goes with the action that took place. Yes, it's an explanation of that action. So God would have them to know that you cannot hide from death, right? It does not specify what type of death. It just says death. In fact, the word el-maut, for death, is not the only word for death depending on what kind of death you're referencing. Death does not always have to express itself as a physical activity. As with el-maut, no matter where you are, it will find you even if you are among the high and mighty. When God has decreed it, it will seek you out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was making Muhammad alayhi salam, the prophet, aware that when good befalls them, when the good reach them, Muhammad, they will say, it is from Allah. Yeah, Allah. Thank you, Allah. And if bad comes upon them, they will say, it is from you, Muhammad. Yes. Yes. This that have come upon us, Muhammad, is because of you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautioned him by saying, all things are from Allah. All things are from Allah. Ultimately, they are. And nothing can reach you without the commission or permission of Allah, even if you cause it. Yes. But what has come to them that they fail to comprehend as a hadith? Yeah. That everything the people at some point will suffer death except Allah. Do you know death is a cessation of productivity? Death is a cessation of productivity. When fall comes and the vegetation dies, not producing anymore, so that is a condition of non-productivity, which is death. It's a form of death. Bad things can't produce life. They can. They can. So Allah, he says in his Quran, he says, مَا أَسَابِكَ مِنْ حَسَّنَاتِ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ وما أسابك من السيئات فمن نفسك وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وقيف بالله شهيدا صدق الله العظيم. And Allah has surely spoken the truth. Whatever good, O man, O people, whatever good happened to you, it's from Allah. But whatever evil happened to you is from your own soul, from your own self, from your own self. Joseph Savage knew that. So that's why he let the garbage pile up. Pile up. That was his fight. That was his fight. And he accepted his fight. And because he accepted his fight, God sent his mercy and made him successful. Yes. That's not to say that it was all good. that he didn't feel any strain or struggle or hardship, but that was his fight. Yes. So that is the hadith, or the statement of fact that we all should know, which is the good that reaches you is from Allah, and he says that he, Allah, is good, and he accepts nothing but good. So whatever reaches you of evil, that is what comes from your own self. Your own self. Brother, how can you say that? How can you say that? The white man came to Africa and he captured us and he brought us back here. Well, what was the Africans doing that Allah allowed that to happen? What was going on with the Africans that Allah allowed that to happen? Your evil is from your own self. And if you don't believe me, get into a fight with yourself. Become so confused and disillusioned and fight with yourself and see how much good comes to you. Attacking yourself with stupidity and insanity. See how much good will come to you. So Allah, he reaches you. All right? He reaches out to you. So whatever reaches you of evil, that is what comes from your own self. Evil being distinct from bad or wrong. There's a distinction between those words, right? Evil. Evil is what is created, come to being in your own person, in your own self. Now, wrong or bad can be done to you by someone else, but the evil you bring upon yourself. Bad or wrong can come from other than you. You shall fight, and the fight shall not come out of what you desire outside of what God has desired for you. That is what evil is. God does not create evil. Because God does not create the Satan. You create Satan. You create evil. And you create Satan. That, my friends, come out of your soul. But don't you worry, Muhammad. We have sent you as a messenger to the people. And we will be a sufficient witness for you. So Allah, he says, من يطيعوا الرسول الفقاد فقد أطاع الله ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظ Hafiz. Translation, he who obeys the messenger obeys Allah. But if any turns away, we have not sent you to watch over their affairs. Now, let's be clear. The messenger comes with the message, and at the same time, he comes as a demonstration of the message he brings. And God himself is a witness as to whether the messenger is consistent and true to what he has brought. He is not obligated to be over anyone's affairs. He is only obligated to deliver the truth of what he has been commissioned by God to deliver. The obligation, dear people, is on you to understand his statement to you. To obey the prophet is to obey Allah. You will find that his sunnah is his hadith, and that his hadith and his hadith is his sunnah, which should match the message in actuality, and Allah over everything is a witness. So trust Allah, fight disbelief, wherever you find it. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Allah, let not our hearts deviate after our guidance, and grant us from your presence mercy. Surely you are the most liberal of all the granted. Igamatu salat.
Unmuted.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Could come into salat, could come into salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. الحمد لله هو الله سبحانه وتعالى We intend to make two rakats of Salat al-Jumu'ah Inshallah Allahu Akbar بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا
الضالين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم القارية ما القارية وما أدرك ما قارية يوم يكون الناس كفراش مبتو وتقول جبال كالإذن منفوش فأما من دخل موازنه أومه ووية وما أدرك ما هي نار حمية الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر وسواس الناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Dua. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we witness your oneness in the prophethood of Muhammad the last. We seek your mercy, we seek your protection, we seek your guidance, we seek forgiveness for our sins, we seek your help. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. And we thank you for the good and the excellence that you have bestowed upon us. It is you alone that we surrender ourselves to in obedience. It is you alone that we trust with our lives. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you plant firmly our feet on this path of Sirat al-Mustaqim, and let us die not unless we are Muslims. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you continue to make us those who accept the fight, who trust in you, and accept the fight, disbelief. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So we'll make the two rakat sunnah and we will come back to our normal format. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us for Muslim American Power 5 on Mondays, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Muslim American Power 5, referred to as MAP5, featuring Sister Amatullah Sabri, Sister Cheryl Sadi, and Brother Fleming Alamein. That's Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for MAP, Muslim American Power 5.
Have you ever heard the phrase, don't drink and drive? Just imagine the health care costs and the lives or the families and marriages and careers that maybe, just maybe, could have been saved if we just changed the sentence to two words instead of four, don't drink. A public service message from American Muslim 360 and CWSC.
Floor available to those of you. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll make the floor available to those of you who have comments and et cetera. Right now the floor is available and the mic is open. The mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum. Waalaikumsalam.
Alhamdulillah. As always, we are grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to come together on this wonderful special day. And always we look forward to being together with the believers who worship Allah and follow the best example of Muhammad the Prophet and to hear a wonderful message coming from a wonderful messenger. And the wisdom and wisdom from Imam W.D. Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. So we want to really thank Imam Aziz again for bringing a wonderful message, and trusting in Allah. And certainly we are living in some very difficult time and very difficult days, not only locally, but in our country, in the world in which we live. And as he was pointed out, the percentage of folks who have doubts and disbelief and some is acknowledging there is no God. So we are living at a very difficult time, but certainly we should increase, not decrease, but increase our trust and our belief and hold firmly to the rope that Allah has stretched for us. That is the only way that we can, survive during this difficult time for ourselves and for our family. And, you know, a time that Allah, Muhammad the Prophet says that we are not only to save ourselves, but to save our family, you know, from the hellfire. And certainly the hellfire is very powerful. It's very powerful. And it's really affecting and having a great influence on a great deal of people, you know, throughout the world. And I firmly believe that one of the best ways for us as believers in our Lord, our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to make sure that we are seeing Allah correctly. You know, that is a big issue in my humble opinion, that affecting the life of many is we are not seeing God correctly. Because of the influence, okay, we are seeing God not in a correct manner, so it's causing a lot of problems. So what we have to do is not only hold strongly to the faith and trust in God, as our ancestors, you know, our ancestors during the time of slavery, okay, they went through some very difficult time, the most difficult time of any human being that existed on this planet Earth. They went through that difficult time. But if we look carefully, they never doubted the God, our Lord, the Creator, in their own way. And so we can look at that as an example and look in the day of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, when darkness, you know, was throughout not only Arabia, but throughout the then known world. A state of darkness existed there. That was when the revelation was revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, and he shared that, and people held on to that belief and that strong faith and trusted in God, and God was able to bring them, with the help of God, bring them out of the state of darkness. So we're living in a state of darkness today, but trusting in God is the only way to help us and to help the world come out of the state of darkness. So we thank Allah for the beautiful message that the man brought to us today. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise is for God, the Evolver, the Nourisher, the Keeper, the Lord of all the worlds. Nasta'inuhu, we seek Him for help and assistance. Wa nastaghfiruhu for our sins. Wa nu'minu bihi, and we trust Him, we believe in Him. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. And we witness, we bear witness that there is no God except the God we call Him by His name, holy name in the Quran, Allah. ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And we bear witness that Muhammad, whose name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the servant of his father whose name is Abdullah, born in Mecca, what is now called Saudi Arabia, the country, and had no previous knowledge of scripture. He was unlettered. And an orphan who lost his father before he got any chance to see him, to know him, and lost his mother while he was a small boy. Very much loved by his tribesmen, and he was born of the most notable of the tribes in that time, the tribe called Quraysh. And he lived, as God says in the Quran, a lifetime among his people, which was 40 years. And for many, that's a lifetime now. And he was called by his people before he was called by God to be a messenger to the mankind, to the world of human beings. He was given the title As-Sadiq, meaning the truthful, and Al-Amin, meaning the trustworthy. You could trust him. And the history is given of him before he was called to be God's messenger and servant and messenger. And this history has Muhammad being called upon by his fellow citizens of this town, Mecca, sacred, blessed Mecca, to be a treasurer or a bank for them. They would bring their belongings when they were going to make a long trip and be away for a good while from their home. They would bring their precious belongings and ask Muhammad, will you hold these until I return? He was trustworthy. So trustworthy, they use them like we would use a bank, many of them. We witness that he is God's servant and messenger, and we witness, as it is given in our Quran, the holy book, our book, that he is the one mentioned in both the gospel, called Injil, in Islamic terminology, language, and in the Torah, the Old Testament, as a liberator who will take from the backs of the suffering the heavy yokes that weigh them down. I'm using the very words of the Quran in English. And would free them or liberate them from every bondage, a bond of bondage, from every bond of bondage, so that they would be free to worship God. We witness that that most noble of human creatures is the last of the prophets and the seal of the prophets, according to the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Quran. In our understanding as students and scholars in Islam, he was chosen because of his human excellence, that God saw him as being complete. There were others who were complete. We know that of Abraham, it is said in our holy book that he completed his obligation to his Lord. And he rendered himself honorable, peaceful, and at peace in his heart with his God. That's Abraham. Ibrahim, as it's called, as his name is pronounced in Islam, Ibrahim. And there are others too that were born noble and honorable. And there was nothing short, no shortcomings. And as for their character, their human development, John and Jesus Christ are missing, mentioned as being pure and honorable. No defect or flaws in their human makeup. May God's peace be on them. God's peace be on them, the servants of God. Adam, before he was deceived by the Satan, or in Islamic language, the Shaitan. Shaitan. He too was honorable, noble, and having no flaw in his human maker, Adam, the father of all people, or the father of humanity, we should say. We are all, according to Scripture, the Jewish Scripture, Christian Scripture, and the Muslim Scripture, the Quran, we are all children of Adam, descendants of Adam, men and women. Peace be upon Adam. And God made him honorable. And God says of the descendants of Adam, we have certainly made honorable all the descendants of Adam. قَدْ كَرَمْنَا كُلِّ بَنِي Adam. We have certainly made honorable all the sons of Adam. What about the daughters? Well, if you look up man in the dictionary, it means male, but one entry will tell you it means males and females, all people, man. And Adam is no different. In fact, that kind of language comes from Scripture, comes from Adam, the collective soul as well as the single soul. Adam is soul singularly and soul collectively. And this can be proven, but I'm not here for that. It can be proven by scripture, what I'm saying to you. So we all are descendants of Adam. And we all are Adam. We are the original man. Adam has not gone anywhere. His life germ is in us. We couldn't be here if his life germ was not in us. For all people, the best idea of their nobility and their value as creation is given in Scripture. God says that He created the man and made of one soul its mate, male and female, and caused to be spread from those two many women and many men. Women and many men, or and men in great numbers. Rijal and kathir, and men in great numbers. And in the Bible, I read many years ago when I was studying the Bible, and I had to stop and reflect on what I read. It spoke of Adam in the singular up until the point. And then I read where it spoke of Adam in the plural. Adam as many, not one soul. It says, and he named them Adam in the day that he made them. This is Bible. Genesis. We are not the only people that have had our God-given respect and honor taken away from us by bad people, by oppressors, by enslavers. We are not the only people. And I'm speaking of those that are the victims of others. And then there are many who are the victims of themselves. They victimize themselves. And they take away from themselves the great respect, the great honor that they own or possess by virtue of their creation as it was done by God. It is natural for the human being to be curious about its own life. We are free, the only free creatures, free to come out of the mold of our own first nature that we got from the earth, like an apple tree got its life. Like an oak tree got its life. Like fish in the water got their life. Like the animals roaming in the jungles or wherever they are got their life. We got our life, and we got a very special life. we are the only ones that can observe our own self and our own creation and observe the creation all around us and all about us in the universe. And if we want to, we can come up with an idea to create ourselves all over. And we can create ourselves out of the original mold that we got naturally, like the fish got their mold of life and others. This is a very special characteristic that is only the characteristic of man. And I'm including, as one definition in the Bible and in the dictionary does, I'm including male and female. We're very special. Freedom is very special. Freedom. If our freedom distinguishes us from all other living creatures that we know of, they haven't discovered it out there in the space yet. They think maybe they're out there, but we haven't seen them. I haven't heard from them yet. We are distinguished by our free mind, thought, intellect, spirit, etc. Free. If we have been distinguished by that property in us, then that property in us must be our most valued and precious property. Take that away from us, and we're no more human. We are vegetable, or like an animal, or like a rock, a dead stone, or something. We're no more human when you take that away from us. And we can become self-destructive, destructive of life, destructive of poverty. The spirit and the nature will be reversed if we come out of the mold that God created us in and for. It will be reversed, and instead of you growing better and becoming more of a contribution to yourself, your family, and society at large, mankind, you will become more regressive and more regressive, more harmful to yourself, your family, and society. So this is our precious property, our freedom. We believe as Muslims that God created us for His service. For His service. Doesn't mean that all of us are supposed to be preachers. In Islam, the whole life of man is intended to be a life of worship. Allah says in our holy book that He has created neither jinn nor men for any purpose except to serve Him. And He says, He calls us, O my worshippers, O my servants. Literally, it means O my slaves. And that's a powerful psychological effect. He says, Oh, my servants. Imagine now people using the English word slave, S-L-A-V-E, slave. And we're living in the time of the horrible plantation life for our folks. And they're using the term slave. And there become a man, a person inspired by God. And he start calling out to all the people. And he says, in the name of God, oh my slaves. Oh my slaves. Now the only ones will be knowing that themselves by that name will be the ones on the plantation. But now he's speaking to the free people. He's calling them the same as he's calling the ones that's on the plantation being enslaved and miserably reduced as creatures of value. He's calling everybody slaves. Can't you see the powerful psychology? Well, that's exactly what happened in the time of the prophet. God revealed to him that all people were slaves, not just Bilal, who was enslaved and had a rock put on his chest because he wouldn't obey his master, a big rock in the hot sun, to burn him and torture him to make him obey his master. Radi Allahu an, God, may God be pleased with him. Not just Bilal and others who were slaves in that time. There were many slaves in that time. And there were slaves after that time. But the religion came to break the hold of slave masters on God's servants. So God revealed that that Muhammad should say all people are God's slaves. And God says, Ya Ibadullah. Oh, servants is a nicer word now since the word slave has been so abused. Oh, servants of God. But literally, oh, slaves of God in Arabic originally. Oh, slaves of God. Didn't come up with a new word. The same word was used. So here was progress and in terms of value for that word in the language of the Arabs before Islam, that abd, it didn't have much value. It was a person not respected, a slave. But when God used the same language and called his servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be for him, called him, he said, Abdi, my servant, my slave. Then he lifts the word, he lifts that title, he lifts that meaning up to the heavens in value and respect. Ya Ibadullah, oh slaves of God, oh servant of God. We were told in the time of my father, may God forgive him his sins, his ignorance, his errors, and reward him with the paradise for his good intentions and his hard work and many years of hard work. May God forgive him his shortcomings and his sins and give him paradise. Ameen. In the time of my father, we were told that we were the original man. And we were told that we were the cream of the crop. And we were told that Islam, we were never told that Islam was peace. I never heard that. I was 20 years old and more before we start hearing of other understanding, outside understanding of Islam. And I was told, along with you, that Islam is freedom, Islam is justice, Islam is equality. That appealed to us because this world, America and the white world, had wrote us out of freedom, wrote us out of entitlement to justice and equality, and had put in the Constitution of the United States that we were written out of it. So naturally, that complementary language was welcomed by many of us. And we came from the way of life in Christianity in the church, and we joined the honor of Elijah Muhammad for a new life. Why am I saying this? Am I saying this to put the honor of Elijah Muhammad in a good light? No. Although I'm pleased to do that. any good son would want to put his father in a good light if he had a way to do it. But that's not my purpose. My purpose is to say that if you don't value your human worth and believe that your human worth is equal to the human worth of every other human being, your circumstances might have put you down, but if you get the same circumstances that they got, in time, you will be as much as they are. And this is Islam. This is the Quran. قَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. It didn't say white human being. It didn't say black African human being. It didn't say Asian human being. خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Surely God has created the human person in the most excellent of molds. Every human person. That's why the language is given very plainly. قَدْ كَرَمْنَا كُلِّ بَنِي آدَمَ. We have certainly made honorable, noble, dignified every child or every son of Adam. Peace be upon Adam. See? So let us not change our beliefs and embrace the Quran and the traditional life of Muhammad the Prophet, and leave our freedom, and leave our justice, and leave our equality, and forget our nobility, and forget our human honor, forget our inherent dignity and self-respect that compel me not to imitate another race or another people, but be myself. And we are starting to come alive again. We went to sleep and we slept against our freedom, justice, and equality. We slept against our inherent God-given nobility. We slept on it and slept against it. And now we've just started to wake up again. My father never wanted you to go to sleep on that. And his son never wanted you to go to sleep on that. When I started out from the very first day before 75, I was preaching. And my focus was on God-given human value. You can go and listen to the first of my tapes before I was called imam, before I was called chief minister. Listen to the first of my tapes. We can't stop now if we're on the right road. If you're on the wrong road, please stop. God's path is Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's his path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. What is Mustaqim? It is a path that goes that way, horizontally? No, it's a path that goes vertically. It goes vertically. It goes from down here up to God, like Muhammad did. God brought him up into the heavens, and God raised Jesus up to himself and sent them back into the world to do their job. Some of us may not ever get that high in the heavens. Muhammad went so high in the heavens, he greeted Abraham in the highest heavens, in the seventh heavens. Said, oh, my father, greet, salam. He said, salam, my father Abraham, according to the tradition of our prophet, the hadith and tradition of our prophet. We may never be lifted that high, but we all should be trying to rise up from dead matter, from dirt and dust and filth, as high as we can go, up to the purity, up to the light and purity, to be blessed by God with a new life. Sirat al-Mustaqim. It's the path of the standing upright person. Muhammad used the same language, the prophet, prayers and peace be on him, when he answered someone who wanted to know, have an answer. He said, wanted to have an answer that no one could give the person but Muhammad the Prophet. That's what he said. Give me an answer that no one can give me but you. What did he say? What was that answer that no one could give but him? He said, Qul, say. Told that person to say, speak. Qul, say. I have believed. Amantu. Say, I believe. Thumma istaqim. From the same word, mustaqim. The same word that we get mustaqim from. Means to stand up erect, to be erect. Upright. He said, say you have faith, you believe, and thereafter be upright. Thumma istaqim. And thereafter be upright. And he said, trying to be upright. Isn't that what Elijah Muhammad said? Trying to be upright. He didn't say we all had got there already. He said we were trying to be upright. Upright in what? In somebody else's mind? In somebody else's mindset? In somebody else's culture? No. Upright in the nature created for you by your God? In the day that he created your first ancestor. Be upright in that creation and in that nature that was created to serve your God. Created for you so that you would be the most excellent servants of God. Islam came to liberate oppressed people and also oppressors. It liberates both the oppressed and the oppressor by inviting both the slave and the master to accept to be the slaves of God. Yeah, ibadullah. Oh, servants are slaves of God. That's how God calls them. Honor. When you respect the great value and honor that God deposited in human beings when he made them, when he created them. You are not going to misuse your life. You are not going to sell yourself cheap. You are going to be among the most honorable and dignified people walking this planet. But if you just embrace an idea and don't know the most important thing is that God has charged you with great responsibility because he qualified your essence, your creation, for great responsibility. Yes, sir. How are we missing so much? Why are we missing so much in this world today? This world is too busy. It keeps us too busy. Just trying to survive. We don't have time to reflect on the beautiful creation of God. The beautiful sky on a clear night out in the country. And the big wide open fields. You can see the big wide open sky with beautiful stars. A ceiling high and wide. Bedecked with beautiful lights. God created that to touch your inside. And help your spirit and your soul and your heart rest at peace. If your life can rest at peace, your creative forces will start to work better and stronger for you. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had to go into the cave away from the activities of the daily run and hustle and bustle of life. Up in the mountain, Jabal Nur. And there he stayed away from the world so he can have rest for his spirit, rest for his soul, rest for his mind. And there the creative juices, they start to become strong. So strong that they received word from God. A message came into him from God. And he came down and reported it. And from that day he was a different man. Not necessarily a better man, because he was God approved of his human condition before he missioned him. And certainly we have seen and that he's on a mighty plane. Mighty plane. And we have seen that his uswa, his human design and form and conscience are the most excellent, are of most excellent. Uswat and hasana. And says, and any who believes in God and being accountable to God or believes in judgment, they will certainly find in him a model, a human model for them. In these terrible times that we are living in now, the government has joined the faith community, and the business community is joining the faith community and the government to provide these lost souls, especially our youth, with mentors, with mentors. And the mentor that God gave us is Muhammad, the general on the battlefield. Can make his life better if he studies and let himself be influenced by the human model, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The scientist, the doctor, the medical doctor, the artist, the road builder, the skyscraper builder, the common laborer, the economist. God didn't leave out any people who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God or believes in the judgment, the last day. You will certainly find in Muhammad the most excellent model. We need to return to our original nature. We need to turn to the original nature, return to the original nature that God created when he created our first parents. And God has not stopped creating those. Every time you go to a nursery and you see the newborn baby, you see a human being that's not a criminal, have no desire to be a criminal, ready to obey and love mama and daddy, just waiting to be formed by good people. Big, good people can take any baby, Asian, African, European, doesn't matter. Son of the gang leader here in Chicago, it doesn't matter. Take any baby, and you can take that baby, and that baby is like new clay in your hand. You can shape it. It's not going to fight you. It's not going to say, hey, what you trying to do? I'm going to be Al Capone. No, it can't have any ideas like that. I'm going to be a dope pusher, drug addict. Leave me alone. No, the baby just wants there in your hands for you to shape it and make it whatever you want to make it. So God has not created any devils. God has not created any criminals. Criminal law history in the United States tells us at one time they were believing, the establishment was believing in America, that some criminals were such hardcore criminals that a way to save the society from them would be, once you get them in jail, sterilize them so they couldn't have any more babies. That was the position. But they became better educated, and they changed that ruling. They came back to what God tells us, that God does not create criminals. Every child is born innocent with pure human nature. We know a child will fret, get upset, and get angry. If you cause it, put it in a situation where it has to fret and be agitated all the time, you'll be putting it in a situation to make it bad. But put it where it could be cared for and free from aggravations, and just meet a normal challenge from the world that God created, and you're going to have good people. You have to believe in yourself, brother. You have to believe yourself is good. You have to believe yourself is productive. When Allah says he made Adam, made the man, made him a khalifa, Allah and said he gave him responsibility, trusted him with his life and his environment. Allah is telling us that he made man to be productive. To be productive. And he promises us a game, an environment, a world where we can be productive even more than we were in the world, first world. And he says it would be as a garden to be cultivated. The heavens, a garden. Christ Jesus, before the revelation came to Muhammad, he was crucified, they say. It's not in our religion that he was crucified, but we know it's in theirs. And then he rose from the, they took him from the cross, and he rose from the dead. And it is said in the Bible that his disciples saw him, and they saw him as a gardener. A gardener. He had been resurrected. And in the new life, he was a gardener. A gardener is one that works the land so you can have produce, so the family can eat. And not only that, things that grow out of the land also produce our clothing, so you can be clothed. Not only that, things that grow out of the land produce our wood for structuring houses, making wood houses. And in the same earth is the iron ore for making steel. And God says that he has given you what you need. He has made the earth to give you your needs. To give you your needs. So what needs you have? If you have a real need, let's get it. God says it's here, in the earth. Now, if you have an artificial need, an unreal need, don't waste my time. Because God says that he made this earth as a place to provide you with your needs. And some beautiful verses, ayahs, go on to show us how richly God has supplied man. So much so, says, if you would try to count what he has given you, you can't count it. Too much for you to count. So why are we suffering? Why are we going with our heads down or out to beat up somebody because we're so hostile? So frustrated, so filled up with bad spirits, and we want to hurt somebody. Why are we like that? It is because we haven't been told what I'm telling you now on this most precious day of the calendar, Jumu'ah Day. You haven't been told these things. You need to be told these things. I was told these things. I was conditioned by loving parents and people who believed like they did. And when I was with those requirement of life, the coldest thing I know of will try to take care of the new baby. That's a snake. Cold. But it'll try to take care of the new baby. Love. When it gets older, you can't see any sign of any love in a snake. Only time you can see love is when they have new babies. And then look like the baby is mostly on the back of nature. There ain't much the snake gonna do for it. But it won't destroy it. And it'll let it travel with it. Till it's able to go on its own. Love. We have to have love, dear brothers. That's what we are missing now. If we will let our hearts open up to love, firstly, to loving your God, to whom you are indebted for everything good, then loving your prophet. Muhammad is our prophet. Loving your prophet, who paid the price long before we knew anything about Islam. He paid the price. He was stoned by people of Taif. They were a better off community during his time, his lifetime. And he thought that if he could invite them to Islam and they would embrace Islam, that would be good help for the poor. So he went there to invite them to Islam. They laughed at him. And their foolish ones, their children and their foolish ones, threw stones at him. And the stones damaged him so much that it's reported that they could hear the sound of the liquid blood in his sandals as he was walking, squishing, as he was walking away from their town. He was banished from his own native city. If he hadn't left, they had planned to kill him. But the good people of Medina invited him, so he had a haven, he had a rescue. He left his own home, his native city, and he went to Medina, and there began building after the ascension, the visit, the night visit, the ascension and travel from the sacred precincts in Mecca to the distant mosque, Al-Aqsa, distant place in Jerusalem. After that, he went to Medina. He accepted their welcome. He went to Medina. And it wasn't long thereafter he had established the society, the first society, the first community, the first city of Islam, the Ummah. We call now the Ummah, the international community. First, he put that model there in Medina, the international model of Islamic society, Islamic community life. And it spread from there in a marvelous way. And in about 12 years or less, it was the most powerful and most productive society on earth at that time. But his followers loved one another. They loved one another. And they were guided by God to love God and love his messenger and love one another. And they were guided by Muhammad to practice love for one another. Put it into practice. Praise be to Allah. And God says, and we revealed it upon his heart. It didn't come to his brain. And in another place, God said, if he had revealed it upon a mountain, the mountain would have crumbled into sand or dust. Would have been broken up into small particles. Humbled to become granular. Stones and all. If it had been revealed upon a mountain. But he revealed it upon his heart. Because his heart was humane. His heart was obedient to God. His heart was like the human heart. A muscle that's working 24 hours a day. Never takes rest. And why is it working? To see that the life of the body called the blood. Scripture says that. In the Bible it says, and the blood is the life of the body. The blood of life. It's working to see that every member, all parts of the body receive life and get the chance to live. Now, if we have a man like that heart, devoted to the welfare and well-being of humanity at large, of all people, to see that they all get the food of life, get the chance to have life and live healthy, be healthy and strong, wouldn't that be a wonderful situation? Well, Christians believe they got that situation. And they believe the messenger prophet Jesus is that heart. And I want to tell you that we got that situation. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, God's servant and messenger, our prophet of the Quran, of Islam, he is that heart in the whole of humanity. And God says of him that he is Rahmatan lil Alameen. He's a mercy for all the worlds. Rahmatan lil Alameen, a mercy for all the worlds. In the conclusion of this first part of my khutbah, our khutbah, Imam Dabini Muhammad's khutbah, my Imam's khutbah, in this portion of the khutbah, I want to say to you that you are obligated, when you say you are Muslim, to be a follower of Muhammad, because history doesn't have that language before Muhammad. No matter what we say, history does not have that language before Muhammad the Prophet. Peace be upon him. So you are obligated, when you say you are Muslim, you are obligated to be a follower of Muhammad the Prophet. He was the one that introduced to the world that name, Muslim. And he was the one that introduced to the world Islam in spirit and in practice. And if he is made by God to be a mercy to all people, a mercy to all the world, then we who call ourselves Muslims, we are obligated to study the Quran, study the way Prophet Muhammad lived Islam, lived the Quran, so that we also can be mercies to all the worlds. Mercy came from the followers of Muhammad the Prophet when they developed the sciences, revived the sciences, gave the world again mathematics, astronomy, business science, medicine, etc. When they did that, they gave the world what the world could take and relieve burden and misery on people, on societies. Mercy to all the world. Wake up. Too late for you to be sleeping, man. It's terrible for you all to be acting crazy and dozing and nodding. And it's noonday. And work is everywhere. And you're saying you have to sell drugs. You need to come to Islam again. You stumbled and fell on your face and knocked yourself out on a stone. Wake up and come to Islam again. Allahu Akbar. In my conclusion, God says, and the Bible says it too, that he shall make everything new, that he shall make a new heaven and a new earth. And Allah tells him in the Quran, and the whole sky will be rolled back like it was, as if it was nothing but a scroll. You looking for paper up there? That ain't gonna never happen. But the sky is being rolled back as if it's nothing but a scroll. And I see a new heaven and a new earth coming. I see the light flowing from the throne, running down into the low places and filling every nook and crevice with light. I see the whole earth illuminating. Praise be to Allah. We ask Allah to guide us always, for if he had not guided us, we would never have found guidance. We ask Allah to purify our intentions and to not let our hearts deviate, go wrong, after he has guided us aright. Give us good in this world, our Lord, and in the next, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sin. Amen. Oh, my God. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillahi al-Kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Praise be to God. In His name, we ask His assistance, we ask His forgiveness, and we ask His mercy, and we witness that He alone is worthy of worship as our God. For it is Allah alone who created us and everything and made all the things we enjoy, even our own creativity, our own ability to think creatively and produce wonderful things that we enjoy, like the computer and whatever. It is God that made all of that possible, designed us, so it was His will that we should have the computer and all these other things, that He has created us with intelligence and skills and the tools to produce. There is no God worthy of our worship except that one, the creator of everything, Al-Khaliqu Kulli Shay. Highly glorified is He, and we will not worship any but Him. We will not associate anymore in worship with Allah, the creator, anything, no person, no object in creation. Only Allah is our God, our Lord, our creator, our nourisher, our protector, our guide. Praise be to Allah, the wonderful prophet in the Quran, when he was replying to Pharaoh, who wanted him to be Pharaoh's servant and give up this idea of obeying this God of yours. The prophet replied and said, "The one who created me will guide me." He refused to accept Pharaoh's advice for his life. He said, "The one who created me will also guide me." خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He created, and then He gave symmetry and balance. And then He inspired it with creative powers. قَدَّرَ. Inspired the soul with creative powers. And then He gave the guidance to be followed. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let us keep our focus, and if we lose the awareness that God invites us to be believers, Muslims, so that we will have life in our own community, we'll lose everything. Allah Most High, He says, "Antum, you," speaking of all to all of us, "Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas." You are the best of societies, evolved for the good of all people. That's what Allah says. And He tells us, "Wanha anil munkar." Stay away from the things that devaluate you. Stay away from the things that devaluate you, that take away from you your value that God wants for you, not only as individuals and families, but wants for you as a society. Stay away from those things that devaluate you. And bear patiently what betides you. Don't lose patience with Allah. For Allah's promise is always coming. And Allah says, "If my servant asks," to Muhammad, He says, "If my servant asked of me, tell them I am near." رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بعد هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب إنك أنت الوهاب. Surely you are the grantor. Surely you are the grantor. We ask you that you grant us good and excellence in this world and good and excellence in the next, and save us from the fires of the hell fires, the fires of sin. Amen.
Be sure to join us next time for the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653 or write Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That was Imam Warthin Muhammad. That was just about an hour long. Figures on my screen were not correct. It indicated there was an hour and 48 minutes, but alhamdulillah, that was Imam Warthin Muhammad. There's another Jummah lecture also on my screen, which is about an hour long. But we're going to now go to the phones. If you want to, we're going to give you the opportunity, if you want to make any comments, if you want to ask any questions, I'll be more than happy to open your mic so that you may do so. And, of course, I'll be running my mouth also intermittently. So let's go to the phone. Let's go to area code 727. Assalamu alaikum. State your name. Where you calling from? You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal Avenue, calling from Louisiana.
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing, Bilal?
Fine, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Now, look, it's not easy to fall, to come after Imam Warthin Muhammad unless you use the wisdom of Imam Warthin Muhammad. So all I'm doing is using the wisdom of Imam Warthin Muhammad. So this is a little poem I wrote. I'm going to go on to share. Nothing is more dramatic in the life of Prophet Abraham than the test of sacrificing his son. In this day and time, our youth, hardened, that they say the wrong thing, end up losing their life, being killed by a gun. What a way to have fun. Y'all know where I'm coming from. You should respect the life of every human being. Common sense must be on the scene. Our children, in an environment of alcoholism, perverted sex, and dope fiends. Public schools, a lot of our children we could lose. We must be prepared to do our share. Show humanity that we care. Fulfill all our obligations. We must have mutual consultation. Prophet Muhammad needed it. That's why he was able to benefit. No individual soul will be left alone without any authority over it. Allah is the ultimate authority. It isn't easy for us to establish peace. Get the money to build the institution that we need. Only a fool would accept living in poverty. Trust Allah and never stop.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Bilal. That's Bilal the poet. We thank you.
Right.
Bilal, may Allah continue to inspire you.
All right. So let's
thank you. Thank
you. Stop there right there and
listen to
hear some music here.
If anybody else wants to make a comment?
Praise be to Almighty God.
I may not know you. You may not know. have faith until you walk for your brother or your sister, until you walk for yourself. Amen. When you see what you see, knowing that it shouldn't be, do you just walk on by with your head held high? Listen. Said I may not know.
Everyone, expressing this to you, that was, I believe it's Abdul Wali Shaheed, a dear brother in the New York, Brooklyn, New York area, and bringing his music on to AM 360. Inshallah, we'll have a chance to interview him in the days coming forward. But we want to share also with you, because we're saying we, CWSC and AM 360 and all of the intelligentsia, we're stressing to everyone as a part of the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative, we're making the medium connection, and we're also interrelating with organizations throughout the country. And as we will be traveling through the country, making ourselves known more as to what we are about CWSC, but more so about the networking efforts. So I want to share with you, as part of the initiative, is to share what's happening specifically with the community associated or aligned with the leadership of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad and Rahimahullah. And that brings me to Masjid Yusuf Shah, or the Yusuf Shah Islamic Center of Mount Vernon, New York. Back in, let's see, the leader, Imam Yusuf Shah, was 65 years old when he transitioned in 1993. That was April 3rd, 1993. And he had already served 23 years. It says Imam Yusuf Shah, and they quote him as a black Muslim, but we know as a Muslim who helped to lead the Nation of Islam Harlem Mosque for 23 years and directed its Fruit of Islam security force in 20 eastern states, everyone. So the historic presence of the Yusuf Shah Islamic Center is totally, is definitely a part of this history, and as they connected themselves with the leadership of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah, CWSC AM 360 is connecting with them to promote their efforts now to build a new residence for the center, Islamic Center. It's currently at, the address is 10 South 2nd Avenue, Mount Vernon, New York. Phone number 347-360-7767. Again, please take this number down. You can get more information about how to dedicate yourself to the efforts and donate. The number is 347-360-7767. And two, through the week, as you can, it's very important for the next 60 days. We don't want to take that time for granted. The help, we are here to help one another. So, again, as much as you can, as often as you can, make your commitment known as a part of your CWSC dedication. Again, this is the Yusuf Shah Islamic Center, Mount Vernon, New York. Press 1 if you have more information. But they said that the center strives to enhance and maintain a better quality of life for the community and teach moral life, integrity, and accountability, based on the Quran, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. We know, too, that they've been currently feeding many people in and around the center. It says, Yusuf Shah's vision is to build a community development center that allows us to extend our outreach programs to Muslims and non-Muslims located in Westchester County and North Bronx. Please assist them with their efforts, empowering humanity in one voice. So more can be heard definitely with A New Day for Al-Islam. You tune in at 10 a.m. That means you will have been here with CWSC AM 360 from sometime 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then just go over to A New Day for Al-Islam at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Inshallah. Very, very wonderful group of presenters, but you can get more information. All right? I wanted to catch you now for those who may not be able to join us tonight at 7 p.m. with community developmental stages as we welcome you to join us. But we do understand that life is busy. All right? So let's see here. Anyone has anything they want to share, please press 1 on your phone. We'll open your mic. If not, we're going to end here, thanking everyone. Look forward to hearing more about the medium connections as we travel through the country. The Executive Committee of CWSC, that's Dr. Aisha Kareem on the West Coast, Imam Omar Shakir in Central, and Martha Nyla on the West, on the East. Excuse me, forgetting very quick, right? On the East Coast. So we're starting, inshallah, on some of us on June 5th, and you'll be hearing more information between now and September 2023. Oh, we have, okay, Brother Jamal Bilal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Pray Allah, everyone as well. Can you hear me, sister?
Yes, yes, you're being heard.
Yes, I just wanted to say that the Yusuf Shah Building Fund will go towards building a new Islamic center that they have gotten the rights, I believe, to the land to build on. So I don't think it will be the same location of the address that you gave. I think it's a different location. But I think
yes,
the donations could be sent to that same address that you gave and the telephone number that you gave, given for more information. The other thing, A New Day for Al-Islam, I'm not sure if they have, they'll be utilizing the same number that they use when they are on AM360. Do you know? Can you confirm if that's actually the same number?
The number for New Day for Al-Islam, no, it is different. It's the first six members are the same, but it's, and thank you, too. It's 515-605-9326, everyone. Again, this is a New Day for Al-Islam. Every day they're there, I think Monday through Saturday now, but definitely Monday through Friday. And at the top of the week, you definitely will hear, or the middle of the week, Wednesday and Thursday, you will hear the promotions. But I believe Imam Abdul Karim, help me there, Rahim, is the one promoting by way of his airtime, definitely. Again, the number is 515-605-9326. So we want to connect, we want to promote, and we want to be a benefit to one another, inshallah. Any more, Jamal?
No, that's it. Thank you very much, sister.
You're quite welcome. All right, everyone. Looking forward to our connection tonight, if you can. Let's see here. Okay. Thank you. I'm muting your mic now. Alhamdulillah. All right, so you heard it. Yes, definitely it's a new building, new location. The location as it stands right now is 10 Second Avenue, not looking at it, but it, in Mount Vernon, New York. Of course, if you wrote down that number, the number is 3470. Come on back to me now here. 7767. 347-360-7767. Just call that number to find out the ways that you can help promote and contribute to the efforts of the Yusuf Shah Islamic Center and the dedication of all the believers there. And we are one family. So praise be to Almighty God. Thank you, dear listeners. It's been a pleasure. Inshallah, God willing, we'll visit tonight, 7 p.m., for Community Developmental Stages and Community Buzz, CWSC Community Buzz. Have you heard? Assalamu alaikum wa jumma mubarak.